This is the Afternoon Magazine on WILL Urbana. Good afternoon, I'm Celeste Quinn. As the Illinois primary election approaches, AM 580 is offering you, our listeners, an opportunity to talk to the candidates. Candidates in many races will appear on our telephone interview programs, Focus 580 and the Afternoon Magazine, before the primary on March 19th. This afternoon, Republican State House candidate Linda Warfel Fischel is our guest. She is one of four candidates running in the GOP primary in the new 110th House District. In March, she will face Chapin Rose, Ronald Hunt, and Gerald Smith. And the winner of the primary will face Democrat John Hayden in November. Right. Thank you, Linda. The 110th Legislative District includes southwestern Champaign County, the northwestern corner of Edgar County, and all of Douglas and Coles counties. Listeners, I invite your questions for Illinois Republican House candidate Linda Fischel this afternoon. Here are the telephone numbers. In Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455. That's 333-WILL. Outside Champaign-Urbana, call toll-free 800-222-9455, 800-222-WILL. Linda Fischel is the former mayor of Arcola, serving in that office from 1991 to 2000. Again, our telephone number is 333-9455, 800-222-9455. Good afternoon, welcome, and thanks for helping me out there. I had a typo in my introductory copy.
Yes, I think Jerry would appreciate being included in the group.
He sure would. Let's talk about your qualifications for the Illinois House. What do you list as your most important accomplishments during your tenure as mayor of Arcola?
As mayor of Arcola, I was there for three terms, elected to three terms for 10 years. And probably the biggest item during that 10 years was the source of a new water supply for the city. We were under limited time constraints to find a new water source. Had been getting our water from Tuscola at a chemical plant up there, and had a benzene spill in the water, which was a memorable experience for everybody in town, because we were without water for about 10 days, unable to use any of the water. EPA didn't want us using anything, so they trucked in water for us to go up with jugs and take drinking water home. And we visited friends and neighbors in neighboring communities for bath time and that kind of thing. And it was a very difficult time for the school, the nursing home, places that really, really were hard put. So we decided to not drill a well because we had been unsuccessful in 50 years of drilling wells that either didn't produce or didn't sustain enough water for the city, or produced not good water quality. And had talked to the people in Tuscola, and the mayor up there at that time was Dan Kleiss. We were able to work out an agreement with them because they were not in the constraints that we were, but down the road they could see that they were going to be needing water too. So we worked out an agreement with them and ended up running a water line from Champaign. At that time it was Northern Illinois Water, and are hooked into the Taze Aquifer now. So we have an unlimited supply of good water.
What are the biggest challenges facing the state of Illinois today, and what would you bring to the State House in order to help the state meet those challenges?
Well, of course, I think everyone right now is talking about the budget, and that touches all different aspects of the state. So I think my experience is been broad-based in that I have municipal experience. Also, I owned my own business before running for mayor. I also have a farming background, and grew up on a farm in Tolono, just south of Champaign. And my brother still lives on the farm that belonged to our family. Originally, my great-grandmother lived there and has proceeded on down the line in the family. And Len has lived there and raised his family there. So I have a farming background, too.
You mentioned the budget.
Yes.
Big issue. The governor has trimmed spending, and I noticed in your flyer, your campaign flyer, education is a top priority for you. You say, I believe we have sound educational systems in our district. Current budget cuts jeopardize the system. Should education be left out totally from budget cuts?
I don't know that it should be totally left out, but I would certainly put it at the bottom of the list before I would suggest any kind of cuts to the education budget.
What other areas of the state's budget would you trim ahead of education?
I think all of the areas need to be looked at. And I noticed in the paper this morning that Dale Ryder, who is our current representative running for the state from our district, has proposed an across-the-board cut, I think, of 3%, if I read the article correctly. I think over a course of time here this spring, there will be a lot of proposals on the budget brought to the table. And I think right now it bears looking at all of those proposals, and then our legislators can make a decision on what they feel is best. But to specifically target one area at this point, I don't think we can do that. Hopefully, the news yesterday about the economy was good and positive, and I'm hoping that maybe it won't be quite as severe as they predicted.
$34 million has been trimmed from the University of Illinois budget, and there is some concern that this reduction will be built into the university's baseline budget, that it will become permanent. Should higher education be protected from budget cuts? Should the university have to undergo this kind of cut, and should it become, you know, what could be done to protect the university from suffering this over the long haul, this becoming a permanent cut?
I think that's something that the legislature is going to have to wrestle with. I don't, like I said, I think that should be the last place that they look to cut the budget, but it's certainly something that they need to study.
What are your thoughts on increasing tuition as a way to cover budget shortfalls for higher education?
It would depend on what the shortfall amounts to and what kind of percentage that would be suggested.
The state is facing a teacher shortage.
Mm-hmm.
It's estimated that more than 50,000 new teachers are going to be needed in the next few years here. And this is another part of the budget that is seeing some pressure. Is the state doing enough to address this problem of this impending teacher shortage?
Well, it seems like we run in cycles in careers for a lot of different reasons. I have a daughter that teaches second grade down at Belleville, Illinois, by St. Louis, and I know that they're struggling down there, and her classroom is a good size for second graders, and they're dealing with the same things and teacher shortages that we seem to be up around in our district, too. I don't know what the answer to getting more kids to major in early education and teaching specifically is at this point, but it's an honorable profession, and I think that it's a rewarding profession also for the people that are in teaching and enjoy teaching. I talk to retired teachers that are glad that that's the profession that they've chosen and can see the changes that they've made in other people's lives in a positive way.
Should salaries for teachers be higher?
I think a good teacher is worth $1 million. You can't pay a good teacher enough. So it would help to get the salaries up, sure.
Are you concerned about teacher retention? Have you thought about maybe what we could do to keep young teachers in the profession?
I think that as parents, it would be helpful to talk to the teachers and see if there's anything that they can do to help relieve the burden on the teachers during the classroom and during the day. Volunteerism, I think, is down right now in our country, and I'd like to hope that that's something that picks up, and I think a good place to start would be in the classroom with teachers.
Under what conditions would you support a tax increase for education?
Well, probably looking at the total budget and seeing the demands on the other services and programs. I don't think you can look at one issue completely and decide whether to increase or decrease. I think you have to study the whole picture.
You also list taxes as an area that you are interested in, a priority for you. And you say property tax is a burden on the family farm and other property owners. It is unfair and needs to be addressed. How would you reform the Illinois tax system?
Well, there are people that are a lot smarter than I am that have wrestled with this problem for a long time, but I think we have a general agreement in our area, in my district at least, that property taxes need to be addressed. Exactly how we sit down and divide that up and go about it and what programs we initiate will demand a great deal of study and attention, but hopefully we will be able to come up with something that relieves the property tax.
Should the property tax be eliminated, and should the state rely on revenue from a higher income tax?
I don't think it should be eliminated all at once. I think maybe a gradual process of elimination is in order to start with.
What do you see as the greatest inequities or the greatest burden of the property tax? What is it about the property tax that you see is as unfair?
I think that it owning property and paying tax on that as opposed to the amount of your income is burdensome, in that your income can go up and you make more on your total income, and it seems like to me that that's where the stress should be, as opposed to just on property.
This is the Afternoon Magazine. My name is Celeste Quinn, and we're talking this afternoon with a Republican State House candidate, Linda Fischel. She's our guest this afternoon. She's one of four candidates running in the GOP primary in the new 110th Illinois House District. In March, she'll face three opponents, Chapin Rose, Ronald Hunt, and Gerald Smith. The winner of the primary will face Democrat John Hayden in November. This district, the 110th, includes all of Douglas and Coles counties, the southwestern portion of Champaign County, and the northwestern corner of Edgar County. Listeners, your questions for our guest this afternoon, candidate Linda Fischel, are welcome. Join us with a telephone call in Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455. That's 333-WILL. Outside Champaign-Urbana, call toll-free 800-222-9455. 800-222-WILL. Another priority you've listed is economic development. An aggressive approach by the business community, developers, and government agencies is required at the state, federal, and local levels. What would be an aggressive approach? What does an aggressive approach to economic development mean to you?
I would stress the availability of the programs that the state has available, that the developers and the cities. We were fortunate enough in Arcola to develop an industrial park that at the present time is, I believe, full. And I hesitate to say that because I think there I think there's one building that is not occupied. And that was achieved primarily through local involvement with our Economic Development Committee and a grant consultant that helped us with state programs and funding available through the state and working with the different state agencies.
Are there things that the state could do to aid communities like Arcola, help a community like Arcola boost economic development?
Yeah, there are several programs that the state has available for especially smaller communities like Arcola.
But what I'm talking about, is there anything in addition to what is already out there that you'd like to see?
Additionally, just more utilization of the programs they have already set in place. I think sometimes, especially smaller communities, are not aware of what's available through the state. And more communication in that way, I think, would help with particularly smaller communities.
As state representative, would you go out and meet with these folks in these local communities and say, you know, here's some things that, you know, in this district we really need to be taking advantage of? Is that what you see yourself doing?
Sure. I would be happy to do that and have been talking to people since I started circulating my petitions. The people around our area, I think, understand and have been through Arcola and have seen that we do have some small industry that's a positive effect on us.
Are there any hurdles to economic development in rural communities?
I think getting the just trying to get the ball rolling and getting somebody to come look at your community and getting them in to see what you have available sometimes is the hardest part after you get them there. If you have programs and things that you can work with them on, they are more agreeable to talking to you about what you have to offer.
We've got a listener waiting to talk with us. So let's go and talk to this caller who's joining us this afternoon from Champaign on line one. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Your speaker was a little reluctant to say how she would raise taxes, if ever, to increase the school program, an answer that had to be part of a big picture. But you've been talking about economic development. Good education programs are a part of that. And if you had to choose between funding new programs in economic development and new programs in schools, or if you had to cut back one, what would you do? I'll hang up and listen.
Okay. How do you make tough choices, tough budget choices? Do you, you know, where would you come down? Would you come down on the side of education or economic development?
That's a tough one because it would depend on where you at what level you started at with your educational system in the schools in the community and what the economic development was. But I said earlier, I am very reluctant to cut anything in education. So I would I'd have to really think about that seriously.
Other calls are welcome. Questions for Linda Fischel, 333-9455, 800-222-9455. Let me follow up on the caller's question, and I want to go back to this myself because I think that it's important. You know, when the state is facing difficult times, choices have to be made, and I'm wondering if there are some areas of the budget where you could say right away, right now, I think we could trim this. And are there areas of the budget where you would say this is last resort?
I don't think I have a number 1 through 10 of the top priorities for me within the state are would be education first. I would not like to have to cut that. As far as looking for additional funds and hoping that we don't come up with the deficit that they have predicted and a little brighter economic outlook than we saw maybe before Christmas. I don't know where I would start cutting first.
Let me ask you about Medicaid. The governor trimmed Medicaid reimbursements to Illinois hospitals pretty significantly. At first, he cut over $100 million, and then he backed off some. Hospitals serving Medicaid recipients are very concerned about quality of care, and I know that you serve on the Sarah Bush Lincoln Health Center Board. What are your concerns about health care for the poor?
I would like to see the state handle payment of their bills like any other business, and putting off payment, Medicaid payments to the people that they owe money to is going to put some hospitals out of business, and they need to start paying a more timely basis, operate the state business just like any private individual has to pay bills, and the state needs to do the same thing.
Health care for the poor, Medicaid spending, is it a priority for you?
Sure. We can't neglect that group of people, the elderly and the people that need help. That needs to be addressed.
Another budget pressure that is important, I know, for folks in the Champaign-Urbana community and in Champaign County is state pension funds. I imagine this is also a big issue in Coles County, where there's Eastern Illinois University. There's been some talk of not fully funding state pension funds next year and diverting that money to other programs. What do you think about that idea?
I think that sounds like a dangerous thing to start. If you do it next year, then it makes it a little easier to do it the following year. So I don't know that I could go along with that. Hmm.
Let's talk some more about economic development and specifically about agriculture.
Okay.
What do you think of the governor's trips to Cuba in an effort to boost exports of Illinois goods?
I think that we need to look at every avenue that we can to export our products in Illinois. The farmers are having a tough time with the grain prices, what they are, and looking to secondary incomes just to make ends meet in order to stay farming. And if we can sell our products to other places and open up different markets, I think these things need to be explored.
Should farmers be able to grow hemp industrial hemp?
I don't know enough about that to give an honest opinion. That's an honest answer, and I don't know one way or the other on that.
Mm. Are there other alternative crops Illinois farmers should be encouraged to plant?
I think that the Farm Bureau right now is doing seminars on agribusiness and agritourism and exploring the possibility and trying to show farmers that they do have a choice in some secondary things. Down around us, there are farmers that have pumpkins, and I know that some of the Amish families do vegetables and fruits and some of those kind of things to supplement their income. And it's in addition to what the, in the Amish area, it's usually the moms and the kids that get involved in the vegetables and selling, and the dad still has is the main breadwinner of the family, but they do that as a secondary income. There's some other things that I think farmers are looking at in addition to helping with their main farming.
You come from a farm family. You're the 110th district is largely agricultural. Talking with farmers, what are their concerns? What have you heard from them? What are they looking for in a state representative?
I think that one of the main concerns, if not the main concern, is probably the property tax issue. And I think that you missed Piatt County in the district. It's all of Piatt County.
Also all of Piatt County.
Right.
Okay, thanks for that.
I think our friends in Piatt would want to be included in that 110 district, although it is a new district for some of them.
Okay.
But property taxes, I think, are their primary interest. And if we could figure out some way to get corn and bean prices back up, that would eliminate a lot of stress for us too.
Do farmers in the district, including Piatt County, are they? From your sense of it, are they generally in favor of a switch to income tax?
I think that they are in favor of a gradual transition towards that, yes.
Let's talk a little bit about some other issues that are hot topic issues. The death penalty.
Mm-hmm.
Law enforcement is another big state responsibility, the death penalty. What are your thoughts on the current moratorium on capital punishment?
I'm not sure whether it's time for the current moratorium to be lifted or not. I'm not opposed to the death penalty, but I think that I think it was a timely move by the governor, and I'm not sure what the legislature has in place at this point. I think there needs to be additional DNA testing done before the moratorium is lifted, and I'm not sure what point they are with all that, so I don't know that it's time yet for it to be lifted.
You don't oppose the death penalty. Why do you think the death penalty is appropriate in...
I think that that our current judicial system is we have a judge and a jury of our peers, and I think most of the time that that the jury system works if they have the right information, the correct information, those jurors will make the right decision. And I think that part of our system at this point is the death penalty, and it depends on the crime and the situation, and I think it works well.
Abortion. What is your position on abortion?
I am pro-life with exceptions for rape, incest, and the mother's life.
Gay rights. Would you support legislation to protect gays and lesbians from discrimination?
Yes. I don't like to see any group of people discriminated against.
Homeland defense. Has Illinois taken adequate precautions in the area of homeland defense?
I think we're making good strides in homeland defense. I think, had a pretty serious wake-up call September the 11th, but I think since that time we've done some good things in the airports and the government programs to help law enforcement get things to where we're more secure in the country.
This is the Afternoon Magazine. Listeners, your questions are invited for our candidate guest this afternoon. Linda Fischel is running for the Illinois State House in the new 110th House District. In March, she will be in the Republican primary, the GOP primary. She will face three opponents. The winner of the primary will face Democrat John Hayden in November. The primary is set for March 19th. Telephone numbers in Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455. That's 333-WILL. Anywhere else, call toll-free, 800-222-9455, 800-222-WILL. The governor has drawn fire for corruption during his time as Secretary of State and now at the national level. The Enron scandal is drawing attention to ethics in government. I'd like to ask you for your position on a couple of issues. Would you support a ban on the solicitation of campaign funds by government employees and those that they supervise?
I think everybody that takes the opportunity to get in politics realizes that we need campaign finance reform. It costs too much money to run for office, and the determining factor of a person winning or losing should not be the size of the bankroll.
Would you favor public financing of campaigns?
Not public financing. I don't see anything wrong with contributions. I think special interest groups, I think maybe there just needs to be a dollar amount on the amount spent on the campaign, and I'm not sure, but what it wouldn't be a good idea to put a time limit on the, we have an end of the campaigning that comes with the election. Maybe a start date would be in order to start campaigning for elections.
So let me get this straight. You think that there could be or there should be a lid on the total amount spent by a candidate in any given race, or is that correct?
Depending on what the race is, national races are going to cost more money than the race that for me to run for mayor. But I think if we put a time limit on campaigning to start with, if it was a shorter time limit, it would decrease the amount of money that's spent.
Now, when you say the start date for a campaign, does that mean campaign advertising, or does that mean yard signs, television, radio? I'm not quite sure what you mean in terms of a start for a campaign.
That means from the time that a candidate takes out a petition and starts campaigning and spending money and has to start reporting funds for a campaign.
The lid on spending. would it be higher for challengers to incumbents? How do you even out the playing field for those that have name recognition and those that don't?
I think you get name recognition by doing positive things in office. I don't know how you'd even that part out, because the incumbent would obviously have the advantage in being in office and having name recognition if they'd done a good job.
Would you support a ban on public employees and elected officials from accepting gifts from people seeking to influence public business?
Yes.
And would you support a state commission to investigate ethical complaints?
Yes.
Let's talk a little bit about the gun issue. Yesterday, the mayor of Chicago and some suburban mayors chided the legislature for not passing bills banning assault weapons and licensing gun shops. Would you favor a ban on assault weapons in Illinois? Would you favor licensing of gun shops in Illinois?
I don't know why anybody would need an assault weapon, although I do support the Second Amendment and the lawful use of firearms.
Okay. Licensing gun shops?
Yes.
Okay. Any restrictions, any outlawing of handguns you would oppose? Other than what's in place now.
Yeah, other than what's in place now. I think we have some pretty good laws in place right now for gun control if they are enforced and used.
Let's talk a little bit about some more about who you are. What sets you apart from the other folks in this race for the 110th House seat?
I think my experience in municipal and business and farming is broad-based, and I think that probably sets me apart from the others.
What were you mentioned earlier the water situation in Arcola and the chemical leak as being your biggest challenge the biggest problem you faced while you were mayor in Arcola. What other challenges did you face as mayor? Some of the, you know, more day-to-day challenges, and how did you cope with them?
The day-to-day challenges in a small town vary, like I'm sure they would in a big town too, but it just depended on what was happening during the day. We have a drainage problem in Arcola, and if it rained a lot that day, then we had drainage problems. I'm thinking probably right now that they're sitting at City Hall in Arcola fielding phone calls from people that are having some problems. Yeah, and when you're as flat as Arcola is, there just is no place to drain the water to. And we've worked on that over the years and helped in different parts of the town. But west side of town where the school is located still has some major problems. So that's something that they're still working on. But hopefully we were able to alleviate some of it in the last 10 years.
How would you describe your style of leadership?
I like to delegate, and I've been fortunate enough, especially when I was mayor of Arcola, to have good people working around me. And when you have good people working around you, you need to let them do their job.
Mm-hmm. What led you to enter politics? What led you to make that first run for mayor of Arcola?
Well, that was kind of left-handed because my husband was mayor before I was, and he left an unexpired 2-year term, and I got talked into running that first time and just kept finding jobs to do within the city and ran the other two times.
If elected to the state house, what committees would you want to serve on, be a part of?
Oh, the agricultural and the education committees, and I'm also familiar with the tourism around Arcola and was involved with the chamber for a number of years and still am. Was president of the chamber for a couple of years. We have a couple museums in Arcola and the Amish community, a couple festivals, Raggedy Ann Festival being the newest. And it is become an important business industry to our area, not just Arcola, but Arthur and Tuscola around us. And it's a nice way of getting people to come spend money in your community.
Mm. Getting back to that idea of agritourism.
Yeah.
You got to jump on it.
Yeah. And it's a fun way to do it.
Let's say you're going back to this idea that you're elected and it's your first couple weeks in Springfield. What kinds of ideas do you have at this point for legislation that you would like to see drafted, that you would stand behind in your first weeks in Springfield? What would you like to put into the hopper with your name on it?
I think the first weeks in Springfield might be just a little...
Well, let's move on after you get settled in.
That's kind of a funny story, and I'll tell a little story on Tom Burns here. I talked to him after he was in, and he'd been in. It was after the few weeks period of time, and I think at that point he'd figured out how to find the cafeteria and get lunch. So it might take me a little longer than on the major issues over there in a couple weeks. But there again, the important issues to me are the agriculture and education and the property tax issue. I'd like to get involved in that and see if I could help there.
But there's nothing at this point where you think there ought to be a law.
I don't know. I don't have a cross to bear, or I'm doing this because I think I see a lot of loose ends in Springfield right now. With my experience that I've had in these different areas, if I can offer some of my experience, then I'd like to be able to do that. But this isn't something that I have always wanted to do and planned, or it's not a career move, and I don't have any aspirations of moving up or doing anything else politically. It is something that actually after September 11th, I wanted to do something in my life to be able to affect something positive. I'm patriotic. I love this country, and I love my home and state. And if I can do something to make things better for my children and grandchildren when I turn things over to them, then I'd like to do that.
Do you see yourself as a one-term lawmaker or a two-term lawmaker?
I would think to be effective, you would need to be in there a couple of terms because the terms are so short. But I don't see myself as a Strom Thurmond, no.
What do you think about term limits?
I think we have term limits right now. All you have to do is go to the poll and vote no. Just use that power that you have. Too many people, especially in this primary coming up here, notoriously low turnout, and people need to get out and exercise that right to vote.
Well, I want to thank you for talking with us this afternoon. Our guest this afternoon has been Linda Fischel. She is one of four candidates running in the GOP primary in the new 110th Illinois House District. In March, she'll face Chapin Rose, Ronald Hunt, and Gerald Smith. The winner of the primary on March 19th will face Democrat John Hayden in November. Linda Fischel has been our guest this afternoon. here on the Afternoon Magazine.